Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. Mark Chenowski, joined by my partners on our pre- and post-game coverage, Kendall Gill and Will Perdue. Well, Saturday, Lauri Markkanen returning to the Bulls lineup, and obviously you could see some signs of rust, guys. He hadn't played competitive basketball for almost 10 weeks and looked a little bit tentative out there.
He did. He looked a little rusty. Also, you can see where he hasn't played, where he doesn't have the recognition to post these little guys up like he should. That's going to be a major weapon for him, running the pick and roll with Zach LaVine. So, but you can see that he did suffer from a lot of rust.
His teammates got to help him out a little bit, Will. Get him the ball in situations where he can best take advantage of the added muscle he put on.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, 15 pounds of muscle, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you still know how to use that muscle to your advantage. They had some situations, you know, when he first came into the game when the Rockets switched. He had Eric Gordon on him.
Yeah, bury
maybe
him, right?
6'2".
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bury him up underneath the basket. And don't just accept the fact that he's going to push you out to about to the mid-post, 16 to 18 feet, and then go to work. Because the one thing he can do is once you get the ball out that far and square up, he can get up underneath of you to make it difficult for you to put the ball on the deck and attack. But again, that'll come with time.
Sure.
But as you talked about, also the recognition of the guys he's playing with of telling him, hey, man, Right. Get in the post. We got to switch. I'll dribble it out. I'll give you some space, and I'll dump it into you.
You know what the coaches ought to do? They ought to go get a video of how Larry Johnson used to get post position. At 6'7", he used to dominate seven-footers down there just by his position alone. If Larry took a look at that tape and studied it and did what Larry Johnson would do, that added an extra 10 points a game to his average.
Well, it was one of the big storylines over the summer is that, you know, he was working out with the Finnish national team. He was in the weight room constantly. He put on all this added muscle. Looks great in the pictures, but it's got to be functional strength. Yeah. I know last year we saw as a rookie, he was giving up size to a lot of players in the post, and he seemed reluctant catch the ball in the post because he wasn't confident in his ability to finish. Right. And this is just his first game back. So I'm sure as he gets more comfortable, as he gets more repetitions, he'll do a better job down there. But I think it's got to be part of your DNA. You mentioned Larry Johnson. He was a beast down there. He wanted to battle.
Yeah, he was a beast. And he knew that's where his bread and butter was made, down there in the post. And that's the one thing that, and I know Larry is young, but this is the one thing that he has to understand. I'm going to get mismatches all the time because I'm going to be running the pick and roll with a Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. So a smaller player will be on me, much like we see saw in the Houston game. So, you know, once he recognizes that mark and the light bulb goes off, he's going to be unstoppable down there.
Well, I think another thing we saw tonight is now Zach has to get adjusted.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
To Larry being in the game. Because what did you see, what was that, at the end of the first quarter? Zach didn't want a screen. He wanted everybody away.
Right.
And Lowry was in the game just standing on the perimeter. You know, we thought, hey, man, we showed in the pregame show some examples of how to use Lowry off the double screen, how to use Lowry in the screen roll. But it just seems like sometimes the NBA has got so accustomed to, you know, I'm just going to break a guy down off the dribble. And I understand that Zach – you know, doesn't like the fact that teams are blitzing him. But at the same time now, when you got Lowry out there and he can shoot the ball the way he can, it's not just about Lowry adapting to these guys. It's these guys adapting to Lowry and working him back into the rotation and finding out what his strengths are.
Well, I know we talked about the fact that the Bulls don't really have a big man coach per se on the staff right now. Can a coach teach a guy like Lowry to be more competitive down in the post and to demand the ball, or is that something that has to be inside the athlete?
Well, you can talk to him about it, but it's something that he's got to want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and as Kendall talked about, you start going out and you get video of guys that you want him to emulate. And one of the things that I remember when I first came into the league – that Tex Winter used to talk about, Johnny Bock used to talk about. You know, you hear the term run to the block. That's just terminology, but instead of running to the block, you really need to run to the front of the rim and try to bury your guy in front of the rim, because eventually he'll push you to the block. But if you start, and so then you're, what, 6-8 feet away? But if you run to the block and then they push you out, now you're 15 to 18 feet away. But, again, that also comes with experience. And because Lowry was so good at the ability to shoot the three, put the ball on the deck, knock down the mid-range jump shot, when you kind of get back into playing after being injured, you will have a tendency to go back to, you know, what you're comfortable with, what you've had success with in the past. So he's got to continue to push forward and keep on working on those things that maybe he's not as good at or not as comfortable with.
Well, I know athletes always talk about the fact that you can do all the conditioning you want, but the first time you get back in a game, you're going to get winded early because you're just excited, the adrenaline's flowing, and you're naturally going to get fatigued a little bit early. And I think fatigue may have played a part in some of the shots that he missed.
It may have, because he short-armed a couple of them, and that's the rust that I'm talking about. You're not used to running at that pace, even though you've been working out. And also, you're not used to taking those shots. So I saw that in the Houston game a little bit with Lowry. But, you know, give him two or three games. I think that, you know, you'll start to see that the rust is going to come off. And like I said, this is a big deal for him, because he hasn't played a game all season long, and he's playing with his teammates who he hasn't played a game with yet.
What would you like to see them do with him differently in the offense? We know that Fred's offense is very heavily predicated on pacing and spacing the floor, shooting a lot of threes. And sometimes, you know, Lowry's on the weak side, just as almost if things break down, I'm here as an outlet to shoot the three. And he's so versatile. You'd like to see him be more of a part. Do you think they need to run some actions with him weak side where he can catch and shoot a little more?
They can. But you know what I'd really like to see him do?
What?
Pull a couple plays out of the old Utah Jazz playbook. What did you used to see? Whether it's the right side of the floor or the left side of the floor, whether it's Archie, whether it's Cameron Payne, come down, pass it to a man on the wing, most notably a shooter, so in this case, Holiday, and then you go across and you set a screen on Lowry's man and bring him across the paint. And can he catch the ball inside the paint? Can he catch the ball on the block? Can he catch it on the mid post and then square up? And then there's action on the other side to keep guys occupied, and you bring a shooter off a double on the other side. Mm-hmm. But I think, as you talk about, instead of having him standing there waiting to catch and shoot, run some action so he's coming to the blocker, he's coming to the mid post, he's coming to the basketball, and the defense is moving and is not necessarily stationary, and he's sitting there wrestling with the guy.
And these issues may become even more pronounced when you get Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis back. You know, Zach's going to be a high-volume shooter. Jabari Parker, when he's in there, is going to be a high-volume shooter. Yeah. I mean, there's only so many possessions in a game.
Right.
And I think it's just Lowry's personality. He's kind of a quiet kid. He's only his second year in the NBA. Yeah. He's not going to be calling out vets to give me the ball. So it's really incumbent on the coaching staff to run stuff to
it
get
is.
Him touches.
And that, this is what I said in the preseason. You know, everybody said, well, Lowry Markkanen is going to be the number one option. I said, well, no, he's not going to be because, one, just what you just said, he's kind of a quiet kid. Two, he doesn't have the basketball in his hands. The ball is going to be in Zach LaVine's hands or Chris Dunn's hands or whoever the point guard is. So, therefore, he's not going to be in control of getting the basketball and getting shots off all by himself. He's going to need help in getting him in positions to score. So what Will just said was right a couple minutes ago. When you need some weak side action to bring him across the lane to get him the basketball, that's what I would love to see the Bulls do more of.
There's going to be an adjustment period as each of these injured players come back. And Fred mentioned before the Houston game that Chris Dunn is probably about a week or so away from going through full contact. And then it may be, you know, a couple more days before he gets back. And Bobby Portis is said to be a little bit behind Chris Dunn. Will, from your experience, when you keep trying to work in injured players, is it tough to build any kind of chemistry and rhythm when you're constantly adjusting rotations?
Yes. And I think you hit it on the head. In the pregame show, and you said the season is starting over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, they're 5-18 moving forward, and I mean literally, you're talking about almost in their case three pivotal players, and whether you call Bobby a starter or not,
he's one of their top five players.
You've got to work them back into the rotation. And again, what did you say about LaVine? What did you say about Parker? Bobby Portis is the same thing, a high volume shooter.
Right.
So how do you work all these guys in so they're most effective, but at the same time, somewhat keeping everybody happy? There's a lot of pressure on Fred Hoiberg. So I know he wants to get these guys back, But now that kind of, in my opinion, it's not just on the players, but it also shines the light on him because he's supposed to be creative on the offensive end of the floor. So I think people have the expectation is, hey, man, when all these guys come back, this offense is going to be humming. These guys are going to be scoring 120, 25 points a game. But it's about everybody finding their comfort zone.
And they got to experience some success because if the record gets too far out of hand, then you start getting towards the middle of the season and then all the talk from the outside starts coming in, hey, you'd be better off tanking and playing for a draft pick.
And if Williamson continues to play great.
Yeah, he looks good on the highlights.
Yeah, the people will be putting more pressure on the Bulls in order to tank. Actually, I was talking to the doorman today coming down here.
Oh, were you?
He was like, we need to tank. We don't need we don't need Laurie Markkanen to come back. I was like, nah, man. I was like, we're over that. I mean, we need to go ahead and try and win some basketball games.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue with you. A couple of quick league things before we get out of here. Steph Curry returned for the Golden State Warriors. He had 27 points. Didn't shoot it particularly well. They wound up losing in Detroit. Does that say more about Detroit being pretty good or Golden State still trying to find its chemistry?
I think Golden State's still trying to find its chemistry, but that's a perfect example of what the Bulls are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Markkanen comes back. They didn't look too good tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, the offense, for the most part, I felt struggled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Golden State, I mean, we know the problems they have had that Steph's been out. He comes back. It's not like he's an automatic fit. Guys have had certain roles why he's been out. He comes back. He actually, the numbers look good, but the team still loses. I think part of it is them trying to find their way, but I think Detroit is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. And I think, you know, the thing is that we saw how good they can be in stretches in the game on Friday night.
You think once Steph and Draymond get back and they play a couple of games, it'll just be the same old Golden State we're used to seeing?
I think it will be. I think it'll be that team that we saw here in Chicago,
yeah.
you know, a couple of weeks ago when those guys just came up and they scored 90 points in the first half, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
Probably one of the greatest offensive teams I've ever seen. So I think that they'll be good through the season.
Yeah.
After this season?
Yeah, Kevin Durant's already got wandering eyes.
I think that the Golden State Kevin Durant marriage will probably end in a divorce this summer.
I saw an interesting story about the veteran Dallas guard J.J. Barea. He was talking about the fact he got thrown out of a game Friday night by Scott Foster. He said the first time Foster told him that I was talking too much, and the second time as they were going to time out, he said, this is a disaster, and Foster threw him out.
Right.
And he said that he's only had a handful of technicals in his career, and he thinks all of them are from Scott Foster. Did you guys ever have one referee that you felt kind of had it in for you?
No, I was always cool with the referee.
Were you?
Yeah. I always would talk to him and everything, so I never had any problem with any referee.
Yeah.
I had a problem with a lot of them. But the problem was one of my guys that I learned from, unfortunately, was a hothead in John Paxson.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Pax was a hothead with the referees.
So Pax was proud about the fact that throughout his career he never got fined for being late to practice or a game.
Yeah.
But he wasted a lot of money on technicals.
So it all evened itself out, huh?
But also, you got to think about this. Pax used to always joke after his career was over, you know, because now I think technicals are like $1,500.
Wow.
Like when I first came in the game in 88, a technical was $100.
Yeah.
So, you know, guys didn't hesitate.
Sure. I mean,
if they wanted to go off on an official, they didn't. They went off on an official.
Yeah, the other story we saw around the league, Giannis got embarrassed at Madison Square Garden.
He did.
He was trying for a chase down block on Mario Hezonja, and Hezonja kind of quick dunked him. Giannis fell down, and he stepped over him kind of a la Allen Iverson over Ty Lue in the 2000 finals.
Yeah.
And I guess it just shows no matter how athletic you are, every now and again it's going to come back to you.
Listen, when you go for block shots, if you're a good player, you're going to go for block shots. So you're going to get caught sometime, somewhere. Everybody has gotten caught before. Just too bad Giannis was on television and now all over social media where he gets stepped over. Because believe me, they're going to be playing that highlight for a long time.
Well, you know, one of the best shot blockers in the game, Dikembe Mutombo, he got dunked on quite a bit.
Oh, often, yeah.
And he had that thing with Michael. Michael said, well, you never dunked on me, and they finally got him.
Yep.
No, I used to get Dikembe every year. It was a thing between him and I. You know?
Now, did you ever do the finger to him back?
I never did that. I never wagged my finger at him, but I got him a couple times.
Well, still, I guess when you talk about getting dunked on, one of the best stories is the Michael Jordan story. You know, when they're out there playing in Utah, and he drives down on Stockton and dunks on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that fan yelled at him, oh, big deal, dunk on somebody your own size. Comes down the next time, dunks on Melvin Turpin, looks at the guy and goes, he big enough?
Yeah, that's a great story. Obviously, yeah. Michael Jordan had a way of responding to any challenge. That was kind of what motivated him. If it might be a regular season game in the middle of the week, not a lot of energy, but he would find a way to create that for himself. Are you guys surprised by what's going on in the Western Conference right now? You're seeing the L.A. Clippers near the top. Doc Rivers doing a nice job. They don't really have a star, but they're 10, 12 players deep. Right. And then Memphis is playing some good basketball with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol.
Yeah, and Mike Conley was in a bit of a slump early, but now he's starting to come out of it. Also, Sacramento is surprising a lot of people, playing almost 500 basketball. So, yeah, it's a lot of parity in the league right now, except for when you get to the top.
Your Charles on the TNT show predicted that the Clippers wouldn't make the playoffs, and the other guys on the panel just laughed at him. I mean, I think they're like 14-6 now.
Right.
Best record in the Western Conference. And the one thing that you can say about Doc Rivers is, you know, he gave up the control of player personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, they appointed a general manager over there, and they made some trades that a lot of people weren't that enamored of initially, but now he's got Danilo Gallinari playing at a really high level.
Yes.
And they've got a mix of players with Tobias Harris and a couple of their guards that are playing really well, where I think they have the staying power to hang in that playoff race.
I think they do, and probably as you're talking about in that seventh or eighth spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, another guy, Montrezl Harrell, who's been playing really well.
Yeah, he's been playing really
well. But, you know, that's where you talked about as far as Doc Rivers has had to reassess the talent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of had to reassess what he's done as far as, okay, how do I coach this team? And as you pointed out, I think the biggest thing is they're probably playing the best team basketball out there, because they know it takes, as you say, they're 10 deep. It takes all 10 of those guys to play well for them to win games. They support each other. They're all playing well together. But you're also seeing shot selection is good. Defensive help is good. I mean, the trust factor is there. I'll be interested to see if they can keep it up. They'll probably hit a little bit of a slump. But if they can stay healthy, I think they're not an easy out. They're a team you got to contend with every night when you go into L.A. or they come on the road.
And one of their veterans mentioned after a game, one of their recent wins, said that their rookie, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is going to be a star.
He seems
to be getting better. Great size for that position.
Will mentioned him last year before the draft and said that this kid is going to be pretty good. And
he's got
Will, you might want to apply for one of these GM jobs, brother.
Some people can use some help.
Right, exactly.
He's got the length. He's got the ability to change speeds. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can attack people.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about guys of that nature, we got a guy in Fox from Sacramento coming in.
Oh, yeah.
He's living up to the hype of, you know, being picked in the lottery.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we talked about in the pregame show about, even though Lowry's coming back. But, I mean, the schedule right now is just not very favorable for the Bulls. But after this Houston game, they'll get a day off, and they'll get 2 days of they'll get some practice time in before Indiana and some more practice time before Oklahoma City.
Last thing, Minnesota's playing defense again.
Yeah.
They traded Jimmy Butler. Now they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. And I've read some stuff about Robert Covington, the former Proviso West High School kid. They say he's playing perimeter defense analytically as well as anybody in the league. And it's interesting that Thibodeau brought in Jimmy to be his guy. Now he gets rid of his guy, and the guys are buying in. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Jimmy was bound and determined to get traded.
Yeah.
And he created that divide.
Mm-hmm.
And once he got traded, that eliminated all the drama. But I'm gonna jump on the Kendall Gill bandwagon. I think that the catalyst for that team might be one Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, who has 22 as we're speaking, is the Boston Celtics. But listen, I think that it was addition by subtraction. You get rid of Jimmy Butler, a guy who really wasn't popular in the locker room. Now, and Will, you know how this goes in all NBA locker rooms. The chemistry now is there. You want to come to practice, and you want to practice. You look forward to coming to the games. When you got a guy that really is upsetting the apple cart there, nobody wants to even be at practice. You know? So I think that that's what the environment Jimmy Butler created in Minnesota, and now everybody's happy, and that's why they're playing so well.
Especially when he's at practice going, you need me!
And I'll tell you what, Tom Thibodeau needs to get back to the playoffs, otherwise the owner, Glenn Taylor, may decide to make a change there in the dual positions of president of basketball operations and head coach. I'm sure those jobs will be split if they decide to part company with Tom Thibodeau. So, as Will mentioned, the bowl schedule, it does not get any easier. A Tuesday date at Indianapolis. Not sure if Victor Oladipo is going to play in that one, so the Bulls might catch a break there. But then they've got back-to-back home dates coming up with Oklahoma City and Boston, and then the Sacramento Kings and De'Aaron Fox coming in. So it should be really interesting. We're going to have the next two games coming up on NBC Sports Chicago. So Kelly Krull will be in Indianapolis. She'll be covering that game. She'll also be courtside for OKC. Should be a lot of fun watching the Bulls try to find their rhythm with Lauri Markkanen now back in the lineup, and we'll be here to cover it every step of the way. Thank you for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. We'll be talking at you again real soon.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.